Welcome to Burnside at Home. It's Sunday, the 22nd of August, 2021. Nearing the end of the summer, hard to believe we're so far through. I'm back from holidays again, and we're continuing our series, Meals with Jesus. Over this past year and a half, we haven't been able to share in meals the way that we would have liked and meet up with friends and family. And so over the summertime, we're looking at a number of meals that Jesus had with people in the New Testament, especially in the Gospel of Luke. And today we come to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and we come to Mary and Martha. And we're going to look at that story together and see what we can learn. This is a pre-record of the service. You can listen to this on our telephone line. You can listen to it on our website. You can listen to it on our podcast. But you can also come on Sunday and meet with us at 11 o'clock in the church building, and you will be made very welcome. And we have plenty of room for everyone to come along and to meet. Of course, we're still at a stage where we're socially distant. The 2 meters is still in place. We're all wearing face masks. But we are allowed to sing a little bit, and we do a fellowship together. So do come and join with us on a Sunday. So let's worship God together. And people, I suppose, have tried to accuse Jesus of many things, but to say that he doesn't care seems like a strange angle to take. Because we know that Jesus does care, and yet that can be an accusation that many try to put at Jesus, that he doesn't care or that he's not interested. So think of the disciples whenever they were with Jesus in the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Today then, we're coming to one who does care. At times we may question that. We may think to ourselves, "Jesus has forgotten me. He's not interested in me." But he does care, and he is always with us, and we can trust him at all times. So let's come to him in prayer, and let us ask him today, as we worship, that he would reveal himself to us and show us his care. So let us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you are the God who cares deeply about his people. And therefore, we come to you today seeking your care, your compassion, your love for us. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have met so many of our needs. You meet our physical needs each and every day. You meet our emotional needs each day. And Lord, we praise you that you meet our spiritual needs. Forgive us when we have doubted you, when we have become so fixated on our problems that we've forgotten to look to you, when we have become so discouraged by what is happening in our lives that we forget that you are with us. So Lord, forgive us today, we pray, and help us to fix our eyes firmly on you, for you are our God, and you're the one in whom we trust. Amen. In our service on Sunday, we'll be singing the hymn All I Once Held Dear, Built My Life Upon, reminding us that as we come to the story of Mary and Martha, Martha is complaining that Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet and not helping in the preparation for the meal. But Mary knows that the most important thing is to get to know Jesus and to spend time with Jesus. And therefore, in the chorus of the hymn, we sing, "Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness, and I love you, Lord." And in the second verse, we're going to sing, "Now my heart's desire is to know you more, to be found in you and known as yours." That is our desire as we worship today, that we would know Jesus Christ above all else and that we would trust in him. Let's pray once again. And as we bring our prayers for others, we can't help but pray for Afghanistan and to pray for Haiti today. And we come to God because we recognize that he is the one who is in control of these things and knows all the details. We struggle at times to understand everything about them. So let's come to him in prayer. Lord God, as we come to you in prayer today, we first of all want to give you thanks. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for the offering in our church today. We recognize that it doesn't seem the same, not being able to pass a plate along pews and have this act of worship during our service. But we thank you, Lord, that we can still give in many ways, whether it is the plate at the door, whether it is filling our envelope and sending it to church later, or whether it is setting up a direct debit. We thank you, Lord, that in all these ways we can contribute to your kingdom, and we thank you for the opportunity of doing that today. Today, Lord, we pray for the world in which we live, and we pray for those who are in danger and those who are in fear. We think, first of all, of Afghanistan, and we have watched the reports all week as the Taliban have taken over, and the consequences of that for ordinary Afghanistani people who are now in fear of their lives. Lord, we pray for the Christians in that land. We recognize that it's the second most dangerous place in the world to be a Christian. And therefore, Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who now are in even greater danger for their faith. Watch them, Lord, we pray. Protect them, we pray. Help those who need to get out of that country to get out safely and to find asylum elsewhere. We pray, Lord, for the troops that have been sent into this almost impossible situation. And Lord, we pray for governments and world leaders that they would find a better solution to this problem. Lord, we also pray for Haiti today in the aftermath of the earthquake. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who have suffered so much because of the earthquake. We pray that you would be with them as they try to recover. We pray for the relief effort and so many people in great need at this time. May you help them. And may they receive all that they need day by day. And we pray, Lord, for that continued relief effort. So, Lord, we ask all these things in and through Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to read together from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42, and this is the story in Luke's gospel of Jesus coming to Mary and Martha's house, and Martha getting a little bit annoyed with Mary. So let's hear God's word together. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." Amen. It's very easy this morning, as we arrive at another meal with Jesus, to demonize Martha in this story and proclaim Mary as a saint. But before we do that, let's ask a question that I've asked a few times in this series already. Where am I in the story? Where do I fit into the story of Mary and Martha and Jesus being at their house? And although we may not want to be identified with Martha, I think we can probably recognize some of her traits in our lives. And although we may want to be Mary in this story, we're probably missing some of her traits in our lives, if truth be told. We'll probably discover today that we are actually a combination of the two, of both Mary and Martha. But let us not forget, as we examine Mary and Martha, that the most important person in the story is Jesus. We're not here to exalt Mary and to say, "Look at this shining example." We're here to exalt Jesus and say, whatever you do, whatever you're faced with, look to Jesus. And we're not here to say, "Oh, look at silly Martha and how terrible she is." We're here to say, "Look at Jesus and how gracious he is and how great he is." So no matter what we're able to commend Mary for, and no matter what we're able to condemn Martha for, Jesus is the one who transforms this ordinary domestic meal into a story worthy of inclusion in the Gospels. So what can we learn from the meal with Jesus at Mary and Martha's house? Well, I think there are a number of lessons that we can learn together today. The first thing we learn is humility. It appears that Martha wanted some recognition for what she was doing. She was working hard. In verse 40 we read, "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" There it is again, that accusation of not caring. Could we really come to Jesus and say, "Don't you care about me?" But I suppose we do at times, whenever situations turn against us and things don't work out the way that we want, and we ask Jesus, "Don't you care about me?" I'm not sure if Martha really needed help from Mary, but she certainly wanted the recognition for all that she was doing. She was behind the scenes while Mary was out front with the special guest. It's interesting how the passage begins in verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. It was Martha's idea to have Jesus for a meal. She knew what was involved when she opened her home. It wasn't as if Mary had arrived home and said, "Oh, look who I bumped into," and then expected Martha to do all the work. Martha was the one who instigated it all. It's always nice to be recognised for the work that we do, and it's important that we recognise the work that others do. But we do need to remember that we do it for Jesus, not for our own recognition. Martha was probably a little taken aback when, instead of supporting her, Jesus gently told her that she was focused on the wrong thing. We can get so caught up in what we're doing that we forget who we're doing it for. Paul gives good advice in Colossians 3. He says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Next lesson is don't compare. I may be the only person who doesn't get annoyed by the Go Compare TV ads. Whenever the Go Compare man sings Go Compare, I like to join in, whereas most people seem to get very annoyed by him. And while it may be good to compare car insurance, when it comes to serving Jesus, comparison will not be our friend. Martha compares herself to her sister. Martha is doing all the work and her sister is lounging about. And she laments about the unfairness of it all. Problem is, when we compare ourselves to others, we seldom see the whole picture. We see what we want to see, and we'll either appear better than everyone else, and therefore we become resentful, or come out worse than everyone else, and then we'll be tempted to give up. The only person worth comparing ourselves with is Jesus. And that comparison always results in us realizing how much we need Jesus. Because he is so much better than we are. He is able to do so much more than we are able to do. He is able to help in ways that we can't even think of asking him to help. So when we make the comparison with Jesus, we then realize that we need him. Again, Paul describes his own outlook, this time in Galatians. Galatians 1 verse 10. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of God. So Paul here wants to be a servant of Christ. He wants to do all he can for Christ. He's not trying to get the approval of others. He is simply serving. Instead of comparing ourselves with others, we should keep them in our prayers. They may be struggling as well at this particular season in their life, and they need to be acting the way that they are. They're not doing things the way that we expect them to do because we don't know everything about them. So it's important that we don't compare, that instead we look to Jesus and we find Jesus. Third lesson that we see from Mary and Martha is that we have a tremendous friend in Jesus. When Martha demanded that Jesus make Mary help her, he didn't reprimand her for talking to him in that way, even though he would have been quite justified in doing it. Instead, he gently corrected her, telling her that she was focused on the wrong thing. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus accepted Martha for who she was. He let her complain. He listened to what she said, and then he responded to her with love. He wasn't frustrated. He wasn't angry. He wasn't telling her off. He was showing love and compassion to her. And isn't that what a true friend should do? What a friend we have in Jesus. Jesus is that kind of friend. We can come to him, and we can come to him screaming and crying, and we can be honest with him. He doesn't mind. He doesn't turn us away. In fact, he loves us so much that he just wants to know what is troubling us. So Mary and Martha show us what a great friend Jesus is. Next lesson that we learn is get your priorities right. Jesus tells Martha that she's focused on the wrong thing. So what is it that's truly important to us? Is it our relationship with God? Or our relationships with other people. What is it that's truly important to us? Is it loving God, or is it being loved by other people? Is it serving God, or is it being served by others? Jesus clearly tells us that it is his kingdom that is important. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This next lesson goes hand in hand with don't compare, and yet it is also quite different. We're to mind our own business. Martha was resentful because she was working away and Mary was having fun. But you know what? It wasn't any of Martha's business. You see, we need to focus on what we are doing for Jesus and how we are pleasing the Lord, and not worry so much about what anyone else is doing. That's between them and God. It's not between us and them. Resentment is something that Satan can use to bring division among Christians. It can cause us to develop a hardened heart and get easily distracted. It can cause us to take our eyes off Jesus. And again, we listen to Paul as he writes to the Thessalonians. And to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as he told you. So it's important that we mind our own business, that we get on with our relationship with God, and we encourage others and help others rather than being resentful of them. The next lesson is bring it to God. I said at the beginning that it'd be very easy to demonize Martha, so let's find a positive with her. She has a problem and she brings it straight to the Lord. She doesn't allow it to get out of control. She doesn't allow it to fester for too long. She comes straight to Jesus and tells him the problem. She's angry with her sister, and she comes to Jesus and she tells him why she's angry. Now, she thinks she's quite justified in this anger. She thinks she's not being unreasonable, but Jesus has to point that out to her. She also did the same on another occasion. When Lazarus, her brother, had died, she was hurting over his death, and she comes straight to Jesus and tells Jesus the way she sees it. This wouldn't have happened if you'd come earlier. Whatever we're facing, no matter how big or small, we should bring it to God, even if it's something that we are wrong about in our understanding. When we bring it to God, we're opening up a way for him to show us where we have gone wrong and what we need to be doing instead. He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to comfort us. He wants to rejoice with us. So good or bad, sad or happy, nervous or joyous, he wants all of us. When we give our burdens to the Lord, he takes the yoke upon himself. We no longer have to worry. He has got it covered. Paul says again, this time writing to the Corinthians, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Finally then, the story teaches us to stop worrying. Jesus noticed that Martha was troubled. She was frantic. She was angry. And that is not good for us and leads to all sorts of complications in our lives. God tells us not to be anxious about anything. And that is a truth that we need to cling to whenever we're in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. Worry doesn't change anything. In fact, it makes things worse. Why worry when our Heavenly Father has promised us everything we need? When we're worried about something, we should bring it to God. By giving it to Him, we're demonstrating that we have complete faith in Him and are completely dependent on Him. Again, Paul, writing to the Philippians this time, says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So here's another meal where Jesus is invited into a home. This time he's invited into the home of believers, Mary and Martha. But there's so much that we can learn about our relationship with Jesus from the way that they interact and the things they said and the things they do. Let's work out what the greatest priority is in our lives. Let's choose that priority above everything else. And let's do all that we can to fulfill that priority. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Mary and Martha, but we thank you most of all for your Son Jesus. We thank you that he cares about us. We thank you for the compassion that he has shown us. We thank you for the love that he has demonstrated. And therefore today we come to you and we trust in you and we seek you with all of our hearts. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This point in the service, we'd be singing, "Lord, be my vision, supreme in my heart." It's that idea of Mary seeking God, of knowing the greatest thing to be doing. And she seeks Jesus to be her vision. And as the hymn goes on, "You, my best thought in the day or the night, waking or sleeping, your presence, my light." Having God's presence with her is the most important thing, and the most important thing for us. And then where Martha comes into the situation, and Martha's looking for recognition, and we sing in the second verse, "I need no riches nor earth's empty praise, you my inheritance through all my days." We need God and we need him above all else, and we proclaim him as the high king of heaven. When battle is done, grant heaven's joy to me, bright heaven's sun, that whatever we have Jesus Christ in our hearts, and he is our vision of all that we do. So let's end our time together in prayer. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you once again for joining with us today on this pre-recorded service. It is lovely that you are able to join with us in this way for worship. Do remember you can come to the church building on Sunday at 11, and you can keep in touch through the website and the daily blog and the Beside the Burn devotional day by day. Thank you.